name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. May the grace and peace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Hello to those who are with us at home. I know lately we've been having some video problems, but we spent a whole lot of money this last week, and hopefully we've solved our problems. So I hope the picture is better this week. Tell us if it is not. Who's hungry? And I'm not actually asking if you've had breakfast yet. Jesus says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst. Not for just anything, but hunger and thirst for the things of God. We begin 6 weeks now, reading from the Gospel of John, the sixth chapter. What does the sixth chapter talk about? Jesus being the bread of life. That's set up today with the only miracle of Jesus that is in all four Gospels. The only one besides the resurrection. And that is the multiplication of the loaves. Something that foreshadows the great gift of the Eucharist, where Jesus tells us not to labor for the things that don't satisfy, but labor for what truly satisfies, the bread of life. So here we are at this table of abundance. What is it that you hunger for? What a pity if we were to come to such abundance and receive nothing because we did not ask or did not expect. We begin, as we always do, with preparing ourselves, sinners, to come into God's holy presence. We make ourselves ready by examining our conscience, acknowledging the things that defile us, and seeking God's cleansing grace, approaching the throne of grace for the mercy and help we need. Father, we recall the words of the centurion, I believe, help my unbelief. Lord, have mercy. Lord Jesus, among all the false promises and illusions of this world, help us to hope in you. Christ, have mercy. Holy Spirit, fire of God, enkindle in us the fire of God's love. Lord, have mercy. May Almighty God have mercy on us, forgive us our sins, and bring us to life everlasting. Amen. Glory to God in the highest. Lord God, Heavenly King, Almighty God and Father, we worship you, give you thanks, we praise you for your glory. Lord Jesus Christ, only Son of the Father, Lord God, Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Have mercy on us. You are seated at the right hand of the Father. Receive our prayer. For you alone are the Holy One. You alone are the Lord. You alone are the Most High, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit, in the glory of God the Father. Amen. Let us pray. God, our Father, open our eyes to see your hand at work in the splendor of creation, in the beauty of human life. Touched by your hand, our world is holy. Help us to cherish the gifts that surround us, to share your blessings with our brothers and sisters, and to experience the joy of life in your presence. We ask this through Christ our Lord.
A reading from the second book of Kings. A man came from Baal Shalisha, bringing to Elisha, the man of God, 20 barley loaves made from the first fruits and fresh grain in the ear. Elisha said, "Give it to the people to eat." But his servant objected, "How can I set this before 100 people?" Elisha insisted, "Give it to the people to eat. For thus says the Lord, they shall eat, and there shall be some left over." And when they had eaten, there was some left over, as the Lord had said. The word of the Lord.
A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Ephesians. Brothers and sisters, I, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to live in a manner worthy of the call you have received. With all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another through love, striving to preserve the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace, one body and one spirit, as you were also called to the one hope of your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. The word of the Lord.
Alleluia, 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 alleluia.
Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus went across the Sea of Galilee. A large crowd followed him because they saw the signs he was performing on the sick. Jesus went up on the mountain, and there he sat down with his disciples. The Jewish feast of Passover was near. When Jesus raised his eyes and saw that a large crowd was coming to him, he said to Philip, "Where can we buy enough food for them to eat?" Jesus said this to test him, because he himself knew what he was going to do. Philip answered him, 200 days' wages worth of food would not be enough for each of them to have a little." One of his disciples, Andrew, the brother of Simon Peter, said to him, "There is a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But what good are these for so many?" Jesus said, "Have the people recline." Now there was a great deal of grass in that place, so the men reclined, about 5,000 in number. Then Jesus took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed them to those who were reclining, and also as much of the fish as they wanted. When they had had their fill, he said to his disciples, "Gather the fragments left over so that nothing will be wasted." So they collected them and filled 12 wicker baskets with fragments from the 5 barley loaves that had been more than they could eat. When the people saw the sign he had done, they said, "This is truly the prophet, the one who is to come into the world." Since Jesus knew that they were going to come and carry him off to make him king, he withdrew again to the mountain alone. The Gospel of the Lord. I was over 40 years old when I formally entered the seminary. Why did it take me so darn long? It certainly wasn't because I was making a lot of money doing something else. Ever since I had graduated from the University of Michigan and decided not to go to law school, which is where I and everybody else always expected me to go, I was working full-time doing pastoral and evangelistic work, mostly with university students in this country and in a few others. I had a commitment to a single life in an ecumenical group with outstanding and highly dedicated men, still some of my best friends. But I had always had this sense from the Lord that one day I would be a priest. Many of us had that same feeling in that group, and many of us are now ordained. But then it would be a significant break from the life I had known for almost 20 years. Some of the brothers I was with would not understand or agree with what I was doing. I loved living a common life with dedicated Christian men. Priesthood could possibly be very different from that common life. I would certainly not be in control of how things developed, and I only knew the general outlines of the life I felt like the Lord was calling me to pursue. How do you know what to do in a situation like that? We all face them. This was one of the circumstances, one of the defining circumstances in my life. The question is, how do you and I learn to trust God? God is unconditionally loving. He only wants to bless us. He knows everything. Everything is under His ultimate control. He schemes for our eternal good. His promises are sure. Every word He says is true. Do you believe that? Do you want to trust someone who is like that? Why is it so hard? God is such an obviously better choice. Yet don't we struggle with trusting our own limited, finite, again and again wrong sense of what to do and where to go? Or His infinite resources? Why is it so hard? I don't know. It's our great struggle. But I do know that Jesus struggled with His apostles having the same trials and temptations that you and I do, precisely in this regard. The gospel today can accurately be seen to be about any number of things. This is the first part of the very famous chapter 6. It's laying the preparation for the true bread from heaven, the bread of life, the Eucharist we are here to receive. We could talk about Jesus being the fulfillment of Elisha and all the prophets, because the miracle in our first reading only foreshadows the greater miracles of Jesus to come. We could talk about the great misunderstanding on the part of those who witnessed this miracle. They truly didn't get it. They wanted to make Him a worldly king. That kind of power could really be useful, they thought. But among those things, this is also about Jesus teaching Philip, teaching Andrew, teaching all of His disciples the same things you and I need to learn. How to trust Him. How to trust Him to do what only He can do and we never could. So, do you know the one thing you absolutely need to learn trust? You need a problem. Does anybody here have a problem? Any volunteers? If you don't have a problem, do you have an idea of where you could go to get one? Huh? Or, another way to phrase the question, giving the precise circumstances of this story, where do you feel most challenged by your lack of resources? What's a problem where you have where you don't really have enough? What was Philip's problem? He had one. He had a big crowd and little food. How big a crowd? 5,000 men. That's the peculiar Jewish way of counting. Only men were full members of the covenant. It was one of the most radical things that Jesus would change. But that was then. There were 5,000 men there. If 5,000 men are at a religious event, how many women do you think are going to be there? If mom and dad are there, especially if there's not TV or video games, how many kids do you think are going to be there? So we're dealing with a lot more than 5,000, aren't we? 10,000? 12? More? That's a big crowd. They're coming over for dinner tonight, and what do you have to feed them? 5 loaves. I don't know how big a barley loaf is, but it's got to be really, really big to feed that many people. It was so little food that the exclamation was, "And what good is that?" Is that how you feel sometimes with your problem, with what you experience in life? Do you look at what you need to deal with? Do you look at your own resources and say, just like the disciples did here, what good is that? But see, the real question is whose hands it's in? What good is 5 barley loaves in Philip's hands? Pretty much 5 barley loaves. What good is 5 barley loaves in the hands of Jesus? You tell me. Philip heard Jesus on the Sermon on the Mount say, "Seek first the kingdom of God." Who wants to do that? He says, "All things will be given you when you seek first the kingdom." He said, "Look at the lilies of the field. Look at all the flowers around here. They don't toil, they don't reap. But look how God cares for them. You're more than a lily," Jesus said. "Seek first the kingdom and all these other things will be given to you." Who has said they want to seek first the kingdom? Who has that as the true intention of their heart? But when the test came, when it wasn't just theoretical, but when it was practical, when Philip had 5 barley loaves and 12,000 people, his mind went to Jesus, to his own resources. He said, "What good is that? Even 200 days' wages, that's 2/3 of a year probably. What do you make in a year? 2/3 would only give everybody a little bit." What did Jesus ask them to do? It's actually very simple. He says, "Give me what you have." Even though in response to the need, it's laughable. Give me what you have. Give it to me. 5 barley loaves. Barley, I think, is like the lowest of breads. Best bread is from wheat. I mean, you can make corn tortillas or corn bread or something. I mean, oatmeal bread has some oatmeal in it. Has anybody made any? I asked it all day. Anybody made any barley bread? It's usually a grain, I believe, that's fed to animals. It's coarse. So they didn't have nearly enough bread, or the bread that they have was the poorest kind. In your abundance or in your need, whatever you have, Bring it to Jesus. Give it to Him. Let Him do with it what He will. Bring it to Jesus and give it to Jesus if it's the middle of the night. If that's when these things afflict you. Like the importunate woman in the parable who's banging on the judge's door at midnight and won't stop. Bring it to Jesus. Don't limit what Jesus can do by only the solutions that you can see. How could Philip have possibly seen what Jesus would do? How often do we not experience God's work in our lives? Because we're limited to only what we can imagine. There's much, much more. Bring it to Jesus again and again whenever it's on your mind. Don't carry it alone. My yoke is easy, my burden is light, but the things that we carry on our own are heavy and burdensome and weary. Philip saw Jesus take him from not nearly enough. Everybody gets plenty, and there's gobs left over. Got a problem? In God's economy, that can be a very useful thing. It can teach us to live beyond our own earthly resources. It can train us to move in the infinite resources of heaven. You can learn to trust that everything that God says is true. You're the apple of His eye. You're in the palm of His hand. And all the blessings in heaven are given to you. God is unconditionally loving. He only wants to bless us. He knows everything. He has everything under His control. His schemes are for our eternal good. His promises are sure. Every word He says is true. Do you want to trust someone like that? Jesus wants to teach you to do so, just as He taught His disciples. Believe me. I'm still learning to do this. And it seems to me learning slowly. But I'm glad I trusted Him with the risk of becoming a priest. I wouldn't be here if I hadn't. And that for me would be a great sorrow. I want to learn to trust Him more. You can learn to trust Him more. Where does Jesus want to bring you from not nearly enough to 12 baskets full? We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty.